Daniel chapter 6. Tonight, we're going to conclude our little mini-series on faith. And the title of my message tonight is Faith When Others Are Against Us. Faith When Others Are Against Us. We're going to be looking at all the verses in chapter 6 tonight as we study this topic. This morning, we talked about the mighty God, that His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And we need to understand, what can the mighty God do? Well, I'll give you four things about that. The first one is that God's way will always bring the best results. Now, we know the story of Daniel, how he was part of the captivity, how he was made a eunuch along with his friends, and that he was brought to the palace. And we know the story in Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8. It says, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Wherefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. If you are a person of God, you won't touch the unclean thing. You'll keep yourself pure because God can use you anywhere you are. Even when things are not going right, God will use right people. God's way always brings the best result. So we know the story how they said, you give us pulse to eat, or you give us lentils, basically, vegetables to eat. And you test this out for 10 days, and then you come back and you see what's happening. In verses 15 and 16, it says, and at the end of 10 days, their countenance appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Then Melzar took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink and gave them pulse. What you don't hear here is that was for 3 more years. 3 more years, they just ate this. But God had already shown his blessing on them after just 10 days. When you do it God's way, God's results come quickly. You'll know you're in God's will. You'll be blessed by that. And we know the rest of the story in verse 19. It says, and the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. See, God's way always brings the best results. You could try the world's nutrition. You could try the world's plans. You could try all the things that the world can offer, but it pales in comparison to what God can do in a committed and surrendered life. God's ways always brings the best results. God's wisdom always brings best answers. In Daniel chapter 2, verses 47 and 48, Nebuchadnezzar has a dream. He has a dream of the statue. He doesn't understand. The astrologers can't figure it out. And basically Nebuchadnezzar says, you're useless to me, and wanted to kill everybody. Don't lump Christians in with the world. We're different. We got God on our side. And so, you know, Azariah was going to come in and kill them all. And Daniel said, wait a second. This first we heard about this, let me go to God and see what he will give me for an answer. And so he gives Nebuchadnezzar the interpretation. God's wisdom always brings best answers. And in verse 47, it says, the king answered unto Daniel and said, of a truth it is that your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldst reveal the secret. Then the king made Daniel a great man. See, God's way always gives you the best results. God's wisdom always gives you the best answers. And gave him many great gifts. And made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon. And the chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. See, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in what? Due time. And then we know that there's another dream that Nebuchadnezzar has in chapter 4. He dreams of this tree, how it's plucked up by the roots. And it's about Nebuchadnezzar and his pride. And basically he needed to give God the glory and he wasn't. And in Daniel 4, verse 9, it says, O Belshazzar, master of the magicians. It doesn't matter what people say about you. It's who you know. It's who you know. Because I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in thee, and have no secret, and no secret troubleth thee. Tell me the vision of my dream that I have seen and the interpretation thereof. The first one was, I'm not going to tell you the dream because I know you'll give me the politically correct answer. This one is, there's nobody else can give me the answer except you. See, the only answers for life's questions are found in God. God's way always brings the best results. God's wisdom always brings the best answers because everything about God is best. God's workers will always bring about God's will. Later on, Nebuchadnezzar dies. An offspring of him by Belshazzar comes into power and basically takes the golden cups and everything from the temple that they had an orgy with them and had a drunken party with them, and the handwriting on the wall. And in Daniel chapter 5, verses 25 through 28, it says, and this is the writing that was written, Meeni, Meeni, Tekel, Upharsin. This is the interpretation of the thing. They went to the astrologers and they couldn't do it. You know, the world's going to keep on doing the same thing over and over and over again. Couldn't figure it out. Everybody was scared when they saw these fingers, this finger writing on the wall. Never seen anything like that. Try God. You'll see things that you never thought possible before. So they call in Daniel and he says, this is the interpretation of the thing, meaning God has numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou art fat weighed in the balances and are found wanting. You know something? That's the life of every sinner. You're lacking. Your life will be finished. What you build up as a kingdom will be no more if you do not know Christ. Thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. God's workers will always bring about God's will. So God's way is always brings the best results. God's wisdom always brings the best answers. God's workers will always bring about God's will. And God's workings will make God's servants continue. When kings and kingdoms fall, God's people survive. And they continue. You know, that night, with the handwriting on the wall, the Medes did come under the wall of Babylon and took the city and sacked it. And then Darius the Mede took it over. And in Daniel chapter 6, verses 1 through 3 now, and we'll stay now in Daniel 6, it said, and it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which would be over the whole kingdom. You know, in our political system, when a rival president or the other party wins, all those people in the cabinet, gone. All the people in the government, gone. They're cleaned out. Only a few people manage to stay. But when you're God's person, you'll stay and you'll continue. And so Darius will say, hey, I need a good man. I need a good man to help me out here. And it says, over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give account unto them, and the king should have no damage. This then, Daniel, was preferred above all the presidents and the princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Folks, we need to live such a godly life that people know we're godly. Amen. And they come to us for godly advice. Not what you think, but what God says. Amen. And what God's will is. See, God's working makes God's servant continue when kings and kingdoms fall and when no one else can. What a mighty God can do, he can do things beyond us. He can do the impossible. Because with men, things are not possible at all. In Psalm chapter 7, verse 1, it says, O Lord my God, in thee do I put my trust. Save me from all them that persecute me and deliver me. Psalm 34, verse 17, it says, the righteous cry and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of what? All their troubles. Well, we've just seen four things that a mighty God can do when someone's following him. And so Daniel is now in Darius's cabinet. He's the prime minister, basically, of the Median-Persian Empire. And as we've been studying on Wednesday night in the book of John, we find out that people of faith are not always popular. And so this gets into the message tonight about faith when others turn against you. In verse 4 it says, then the presidents and the princes, well, I wanted to be the number one guy. I didn't get it. The princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Daniel is a picture of Christ. And we see this in here. The other princes and presidents despised him. They despised him. See, serving God has always been costly. Prophets in the Old Testament often ignored, jailed, or stoned. We talked about John the Baptist this morning. He was beheaded. Paul was jailed and eventually martyred. All the apostles except John were martyred, and John was exiled. Serving God has its benefits, but it also has its challenges. And serving God has always been costly. In Hebrews chapter 11, verses 37 through 36 and 37, it says that others had trial of cruel mockings and scourging. Yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. And they didn't have the promise. They only had the promise of the promise that Christ was coming. They were looking ahead based on the prophecy of that baby that was going to be in the manger, that was going to save the world from their sins. And they looked forward. Serving God has always been costly. We've been talking about on Wednesday night that Jesus warned his disciples of rejection by the world. In John chapter 15, verse 19, he says, if you were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. The Bible also says in the book of James, it says, if you're going to be friends with the world, you're the enemy of God. The converse of that applies true, okay? So you're a friend of God, you're going to be the enemy of the world. So other princes and presidents, they despised Daniel because he had a right spirit. That's what put him in. Promotion comes from the Lord. Serving God has always been costly, and Jesus warned his disciples of rejection by the world. Christians have suffered for their faith for centuries. Just last week, John 16, verse 2, it says, they shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service. In verse 33 of John 16, which we'll get to Wednesday night, says, these things have I spoken unto you, that ye might, in me ye might have peace. See, in all these things that Daniel went through, being made a eunuch, being a captive, he had peace because he knew God. And God was working through him. It says, in the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, Paul tells the next generation of Christians, his son in the faith, Timothy, he says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. People of faith are not always popular, but they should be always right. People of faith are not always popular, but they should always tell the truth. People of faith should look different and not look like, pardon me, the world. Not look like the world. So the question I have for you tonight, first off, is will your faith hold up under persecution? That time's coming, folks. It's already here for some. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, it says, But if, it's a certainty, but and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner against you for my name's sake. Rejoice, be exceeding glad, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always. How often? Always. And how? What are we supposed to do? Be ready. Always to give an answer of every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. People of faith are not always popular. That's a reality. And if you're looking to be popular in the world, you're looking at the wrong place. You need to listen and work for God, as David was preaching or teaching this morning in Sunday school about, well done, thou good and faithful servant. We need to be faithful in what God has given us. We need to be good stewards. It's expected of God's stewards that they be found faithful. David was a faithful man. In verses 4 through 9, the presidents and princes and their plot. We know this story. Daniel's enemies failed in their search for a flaw. In the verse it says, they could not find occasion nor fault. And I'm going to challenge you tonight, church. If people looked at you, could they find fault? Could they find an occasion to besmirch the testimony of God? Are you doing things the world would do and the world knows that a Christian shouldn't do? It's a sad, sad thing that people who don't know God know more about Christian conduct than people who do know God. And we need to understand that they found no fault in him. He was faithful. There was no error or fault in him. What a credit to Daniel. What a credit to those who are faithful. You know, there's another one that was getting ready to be judged and sentenced to death. Christ himself. You know, Christ is our example. Pilate says and examines him. He says, behold, I find no fault in him. Oh, Daniel's enemies failed in their search for a flaw. And we need to be the same thing. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, it says, do all things without murmurings and disputings. You know, when you start having your opinion instead of the truth, and that's driving your life, that's when things go wrong. And it says, that ye may be what? Blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. We're supposed to pray, prepare the way of the Lord to make the crooked ways straight, to make the rough places smooth, to exalt the valley and bring down the proud, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. How bright is your light? Man, I tell you what, I went out and bought one of those LED things, put it in my garage. Yikes! It's so much better than an incandescent bulb. Folks, that's what we need to be. We need to be bright light in a world of darkness.
Don't let the world get darker so your little itty-bitty light looks better. Be bright now so you keep the world from being darker. Amen? Amen. So Daniel's enemy failed in their search for a flaw. Can someone find a flaw in your testimony tonight? The only opening for Daniel's enemy was his righteousness. Then said these men, "We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God." Folks, what a testimony. That should be the way we should live. That should be the way we should live. And now we know the infamous decree that sent Daniel to the lion's den. You know, there's always people out there conniving and trying to get an advantage. Paul says we're not ignorant of his devices. But we act like we are. Things happen, we say, "Oh, I don't understand why it happened to me." Christ is on his way to Gethsemane with his disciples, and he's talking to them. He's pouring everything he can into them so they're ready. Oh, folks, we need that in our lives today. In verses 6 through 9, it says, "Then these presidents and princes assembled them together to the king and said unto them, 'O King Darius, live forever.'" You know something? I bet you everyone in that crowd wanted him dead so they could take it. Don't listen to what people say. They say what you want to hear, not what the truth is. All the princes of the kingdom, the governors and the princes and the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute. We need this. We really need this. "And to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions." You're the king. You're God's. You're a god. You're a god. "Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not." And you know something? I learned a long time ago, you just don't sign anything. Or sign this. That'll get you in trouble. But that's what Darius did. "Here, sign this." And we know Darius didn't know what he was signing, because when Daniel was caught, he said he tried to what? Undo it. Folks, beware of the traps of the world. There's a lot of people that are trying to snare us. It says, "Wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree." Remember, Christ was sent to the cross on a pack of lies. It was God's plan. But from man's perspective, it's all about lies. It was a false witness. There was no fault in him. He had no sin. So he could be our perfect sacrifice. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. So the presidents and princes and their plot here. And then we know the bulk of the story, that faith always finds help in prayer. You know, we have a lot of danger out there right now about speaking the truth, because there's laws now that says what we speak is hate speech. And the time is coming that we're going to have to make a choice. We're going to have a choice to do the right thing. Daniel's response to the king's decree, I love it. Verse 10 and 11, it says, "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed," oh, I got to be quiet. I'll go in here. I'll hide. I'll work around it. I'll find some way of serving God in another way that I can do this. He did this out in the open. You know why? Because it worked in the past, and he's serving the same God, and God doesn't change. He went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled down upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. It changed nothing. Then these men assembled. They were looking for him. Almost like Samson. Aha! They're here! And then these three men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. They got him. No, they're going to get it. They're going to get it. You know, in Acts chapter 5, verse 29, it doesn't change. Hundreds of years into the future, the same thing. Peter and the other apostles are told not to preach about Jesus. We forbid you to preach this. We forbid you to talk about this Jesus anymore. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. That's faith, folks. That's faith to basically understand that when things are written against us, we still do what we're supposed to do. So faith always finds help in prayer. We see Daniel's response to the king's decree. And we know that Darius did send Daniel to the lion's den. He tried to get out of it. They brought him there and said, we caught him. Your decree for 30 days, we caught him on the very first day. And he tried to get out of it, but he couldn't. It says, then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. Amen. I got a question for you. Is your testimony that strong that people will realize that God's going to take care of you? Mm-hmm. And look at this. He's put in a pit, and a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet. Sound familiar? Mm-hmm. 800 years in the future, Christ is laid in a tomb, and the ones who hated Jesus said, you better put a guard about it. Someone's going to steal the body, and then this last era will be worse than the first. And we ask you to set a stone in front of it and put your seal on it. The king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. You know, Peter and John knew they were going to go into prison. Paul knew he was going to go to prison. Peter knew he was going to be crucified. He knew that. And it didn't stop them. Persecution's coming. Is it going to stop you? We need faith. We need faith. Because you know something? Even though Daniel's in lion's den, God protected Daniel from the hungry lions. You know, the king and the lions fasted that night.
That's good, brother. Yeah.
Think about that. There was a fast. There was a fast in God's creation. There was a fast in the king, and God owns the king's heart.
Yeah.
Daniel 6, verse 18, it says, and the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. You know, it's a sad, sad thing when you make a bad decision and a bad consequence is coming, and you don't have a God to help you. And you don't have God to help you. Daniel was quite all right in the den. The king feared the worst. Because in verse 20 it says, and when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice. Even though he said the right thing, he didn't believe it. He said, your God's going to deliver you, but why is he crying with a lamentable voice? Oh, Daniel, unto Daniel, the king spake and said to Daniel, oh, Daniel, servant of the living God. And here's the question. Is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? I want to ask you tonight, is your God able to deliver you from the persecution that's coming? Is your God able to deliver you from the trouble you're in? Is your God able to deliver you from the problems that you have? Is your God able to deliver you from relationships you shouldn't be in? Is God, your God able to deliver you out of habits that you shouldn't be in? There's a lot of people say, can't. But my God can. Because what a mighty God we served. Amen. The king fasted that night. The king feared the worst, but he found the best. He found the best. In verses 21 through 23, it then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever.
Amen.
My God has sent his angel. You couldn't do it, but who could? And has shut the mind's mouth, that they have not hurt me. You know, Paul was delivered from the mouth of the lion too. Go read it. It's in the New Testament. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. I have your best interest in mind, king. And folks, in order to be an effective witness in this world of darkness today, we need to have their best interest in mind. Their best interest in mind is Christ. They need the truth and not a bunch of lies. Then was the king what? Exceedingly glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him. Why? Because he believed in his God.
Amen.
Are you all scraped up, beat up, and everything else? You need to believe in your God. You need to believe in your God. So the king fasted all night. He prayed. I'm sure Daniel was praying in there when he went in the first time. The king feared the worst, but he found the best. And here's the issue. Triumph follows trials that successfully are passed. My brother, count it all joy when you fall into what? Diverse temptations. The trial of your faith worketh patience. God's judgment was performed. Verse 24, and the king commanded, they brought those men which had accused Daniel. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. And they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives, and the lions had the mastery of them. They were hungry. They were on a fast. And break all their bones in pieces, or ever they came at the bottom of the den. What that really means, they never made it to the bottom. They were eaten on the way down. What a mighty God we serve. God's glory is proclaimed. In verses 25 to 27, it says, then said King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in our earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I would love to see a decree come out of Washington, D.C. like this. Not. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, and tonight, we need to make a decree. Everyone hears God's word. that men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is a living God and steadfast forever. And his kingdom shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. Amen. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth. And here's the thing. Who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions? Folks, we need to have a testimony of power, of God's power working in us, that it'll be remembered. And that other people will talk about it. Make his way straight. Prepare ye for the Lord. He's coming. So God's judgment was pronounced. God's glory was proclaimed. God's servant prospered. Triumph follows trials. Verse 28, so this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus, the Persian. And we don't hear about anybody coming up against him anymore with plots. They saw who God really was. Tonight, we need to understand this, that faith proven, true under fire, impacts others for Christ. You know, Hebrews 12, after you go through Hebrews 11, it says, whereby we are compassed about, so what? Great a cloud of witnesses, let us run the race. Triumph follows trials. The king calls for his people to turn to the Lord. Tonight, God's word tells us to turn to the Lord. Will you do it? Do you know him as your Savior? Are you following him? Is your testimony pure in the sight of God? Are you blameless and unreprovable? Are we part of a church that he can present to himself as not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing? We need to get that right tonight. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We need to do business with God tonight. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for an opportunity, Lord, to hear your word, Lord. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit will have full reign here tonight, and that we will make decisions for you that will honor you. Father, cleanse us. Use us. Let us listen to you and surrender to you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.